Technorama episode 657, Hoopy Holidays. Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching, thank you for joining us. If you are returning once again, welcome back. It's episode 657. Ooh, baby. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Dark Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me from the other coast is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Wait, sunny, dark? Okay.
Well, it was sunny all day and then it got dark.
Okay. Well, I'm doing good, man. I did my good deed for the day.
You did. Tell the wonderful listeners before you get there.
Yeah. So I saved a dog. Well, I guess he wasn't in peril per se, but he was. He looked like he was lost, had a collar and everything, but he was in a part of the road that, you know, he shouldn't be walking by himself because it's kind of dangerous. So I picked him up, went around several houses, ended up having to call an animal hospital, have them look up the serial number on his vaccine tag, found the address, got to him. It's like an hour and a half messing around with this dog I hardly even know. Found out his name was Teddy later.
What else were you going to do this weekend?
I know. Well, yeah. And I wasn't going to just let him. I was telling some of the people I talked to, I said, I started to drive off, but I kept hearing my wife's voice in my head, stop and get the dog. So I did.
Did they have any clue what happened to the dog? Did it just wander off? What happened?
Yeah, the guy said, I think he opened his garage or something and the dog just was able to get out and he didn't even know it was out. I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, but all right.
Keep better track of your dog.
I know where my dog's at. He's not here right now, or she's not here right now.
She's usually lying in the room with you.
Yeah, she is, but no, she's with my wife.
All right, we have question of the week to deal with. We have feedback from our... Everyone. Sorry, bumped the wrong button on the way to this one.
Yeah, on the way to this one.
It was.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
Just laughing because of the sheer amount of responses we got for our question this week.
I was going to say, this is one of our shortest feedback sessions ever.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I shared it and got nothing. The question wasn't even that hard. What are you thankful for?
Yeah.
We got nothing on the Technorama page and nothing when I shared it.
Well, I'm thankful for you, Chuck. I'll throw that out there.
I'm thankful for all the work you do for this podcast as well, Craig.
Thank you. And I'm also thankful for the listeners.
I mean, and the patrons. Patrons. And
actually, what I've said in the past, you know, a show is just an MP3 on a server, but when you put the listeners in there, it becomes a show.
Thankful for the StreamYard people and the kind people at work who help fund part of this studio. My wife for putting up with this crazy hobby for the last bazillion years.
Actually, I don't think it's that hard for her. She's just like, thank God he's in there and leave me alone for a little while.
I can finally watch my shows.
It's probably more of a blessing than a sacrifice.
Could be. Well, that's right. The shortest feedback segment we'll never have. So on with the closing. We didn't get letters from our listeners today. What's next? History already?
Yeah.
It's going to be a short show. On this day in history December 1st, 2021. I'm doing too many things at one time. Should have gotten the show notes ready before I hit the music. This is the 335th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 30 days remaining in 2021.
Yikes. Get your Christmas shopping done.
It might be too late, depending on supply chain issues.
I might be making my own cards this year for family.
Could happen. It was on this date in 1862 that the State of the Union Address, at the State of Union Address, President Abraham Lincoln reaffirmed the necessity of ending slavery as ordered 10 weeks earlier in the Emancipation Proclamation.
Oh, okay. 108 years ago today, the Buenos Aires Metro, the first underground railway system in the Southern Hemisphere and in Latin America, began operation.
Oh, very cool. 108 years ago, we got our first metro in the Lower Peninsula.
It's amazing.
Also on December 1st, 1952, the New York Daily News reported that news of Christine Jorgensen, the first notable case of sex reassignment surgery. 1952, people.
That's amazing how you wouldn't think that was possible back then. But
no, I would have guessed it would have been late 60s, early 70s, but pretty darn cool.
It was also on this date in 1984 that NASA conducted the controlled impact demonstration where an airliner is deliberately crashed in order to test technologies and gather data to help improve survivability of crashes.
Okay. Crashes of the shuttle? I don't know what they were crashing.
Or test, as probably a test dummy in there. Poor thing.
On December 1st, 1988, World AIDS Day was proclaimed worldwide by the UN member states.
And that same date in 1990, the Channel Tunnel section started from the United Kingdom and France met each other beneath the seabed.
I went through that. That was pretty cool. The Channel.
I'm just amazed that they got them to line up.
They did.
You know, what if they were like an inch off?
Well, it was a little bit off, but not enough to make any big difference.
Oh, well, it's like bridges.
A little bondo here, a little bondo there. We're good.
Yeah. It's amazing when they get bridges to line up like that.
Okay, here comes the fun part, people.
Oh, boy.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to Czech physician and astronomer Thaddeus Hayek, born on this date in 1525.
And French astronomer and historian Nicolas Claude Fabre de Persec was born 441 years ago today.
I think we need some Prosecco to wash that one down.
Yeah.
French-English sculptor, the founder of Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Yes.
Wait for it.
Frank Barnes. No.
Herbert.
Marie Tussaud was born on this date in 1761.
And Mary Martin, American actress and singer, was born on that same date in 1913.
Yep, Peter Pan himself, herself, itself.
Yeah, herself. Yeah.
American singer, songwriter, producer, and actor Lou Rawls, you'll never find, who was born on this date in 1933. We'll never find him.
And also turning 86 today is American actor, director, and screenwriter Woody Allen.
American comedian, actor, producer, and screenwriter Richard Pryor. I'm not going to do an impersonation of him. He was born, he's 81 today. Richard Pryor is 81.
Wow. Born December 1st, 1940. American electronic engineer and inventor Jerry Lawson.
I'm fairly certain that he's the guy that our headquarters, the street our headquarters is on in Santa Clara, is on Lawson Lane, and he's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
That road is named after.
We did look that up.
Yeah. American
Jerry Lawson, he was also... Didn't he wrestle Andy Kaufman?
Grizzly Bears, whatever it was. American singer, songwriter, and actress and producer Bette Midler is 76.
And also turning 75 today is Irish singer, songwriter, and pianist Gilbert O'Sullivan.
He's alone again, naturally. I sang that song a couple weeks ago on karaoke. Looking back over the years. Pablo Escobar. Yes, that Pablo Escobar, the Colombian drug lord and narco terrorist, was born on the same date in 1949.
Let's celebrate his birthday.
Hooray.
Yeah. Also born on that same date in 1954, English chemist and engineer Judith Hackett.
Also
Hackett together.
Hackett? I barely even touched it. Also turning 60 today is American biophysicist and academic Raymond E. Goldstein.
And last but not least, also born on that same date in 1970, American singer, songwriter, and guitarist Jonathan Coulton.
Oh, was he born on Skullcrusher Mountain?
Sure.
Okay. But he's got a code monkey that works
That's
for him.
Right.
Listener birthdays this week include
code monkey on his back.
One of our very early listeners, Claudio Miranda. Ben Frixell. Oh, he's on the first. Ben is on the second. Ben Frixell from the Mac Mania podcast. And Super Moon Man is on the sixth. Probably should have done with a little reverb on that, but that's
he
okay.
He doesn't have his real name on there, so it's a secret identity.
That's right. Clark Kent. Yeah. And that's the way it was on this day in history for December 1st, 2021. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to Chuck Chat. Could you do the title there for us? Chuckchat.com/birthday. I'm going to play that music out.
Drama.
You got to go to banners.
Oh, there you go.
There it
get
is.
Get on the birthday calendar.
Right on
I wish
time.
I wish these banners had little titles or something because I got to kind of read through them.
Well, yeah, you got to read them.
I just want a title. It says birthday, you know, or
Super Patreon. Moon Man's name is Bob, according to John Miller Jr.
Oh, his name is Bob. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Speaking of space, could we send Bezos and some of those ships up with some trash bags and clean all that stuff up? Yes, space trash is a problem.
Well, I would argue if we send Bezos up, it might contribute to the trash.
I like Mike Robeson. I'm thankful that nude golf is not as popular on Iowa. Well, it's also December or late November as we record this. So that's a good thing, too.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck to the pole. I'm sorry, that was sticking your tongue to the... Never mind.
They were talking about the impact testing that NASA was doing. And now we're crashing a satellite into a comet to prove our survivability. No, it's to prove that we can knock it out of sync.
Right.
All right. That's the history and the birthdays. And now we get into some news.
All right.
So, let's see. Is this... I got to pick the right one. You know, I didn't label these all that well. There's supposed to be one that's impending news. Here's a starting one.
Good startling news, everyone.
That'll do.
Good enough. Yeah, that'll
okay.
do.
Okay. Well, according to this story from Inverse.com, there's a new technology coming that could enable humans to travel at 7 million miles per hour. Now, to put that in perspective.
Put your pinky to your mouth when you do that, by the way. 7 million miles.
No. To give you a perspective, a bullet travels at, the speed of light is, of course, we all know, is 186,000 miles per second, which is about 300,000 kilometers per second. And it's pretty darn fast. But if you compare that to, where were those other figures? Let's see. Bullets can go 2,600 miles per hour.
Okay. Well, sorry, it says this is you can go from the Earth to the Moon in just over a second.
The speed of light, yes.
Yeah, so you can streak from Los Angeles to New York in the less of a blink of an eye.
If you were traveling at the speed of light. Let's compare this to some other fast things, like bullets, 2,600 miles per hour.
That's right.
NASA's fastest aircraft, the X-3 jet plane, 7,000 miles per hour.
That is... pretty quick.
That's pretty quick, but still, that's only 0.001% the speed of light. Okay, we're comparing
just
to the speed of light.
Just multiply it, that's all. Okay. Yeah, it's just numbers.
Now, they want to go even faster. 1% the speed of light. That would be 7 million miles per hour. Now, I read through this whole article, and I was a little dismayed when we get to the end, because it said... we're going to have to figure out how to do this. And scientists are researching many other ways to go fast, even warp drives, the faster than light, popularized by Star Trek. One promising way to get something moving very fast is to use a solar sail. We've talked about solar sails before. That's their way to get things to up to 10% the speed of light.
Well, what was funny was I picked this article and I was like, okay, this'll be good. And when I went back and read it, I was like, that was kind of a letdown.
It is kind of a letdown. This was clickbait the best. So, yes, yeah. Even our crack news team from Technorama can get fooled once in a while. But so it did have some interesting factoids in here. I won't totally diss it. It's got space and astronomy stuff. Solar sails, it says they're large, thin sheets of plastic attached to a spacecraft and designed so that the sunlight can push on them. Now, it takes a while to get up to speed, but...
Yeah.
A few spacecraft have used solar sails to show that they work, and scientists think that a solar sail could propel spacecraft to 10% the speed of light. One day, when humanity is not limited to a tiny fraction of the speed of light, we might travel to the stars. So if Alpha Centauri, our nearest neighbors, is 4 light years away, and we're going 1%, that would still take 400 years to go if you were going 7 million miles an hour.
No, that's not, it just won't do.
I'll be dead.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do we have in the news department?
Can dream, Chuck. All right, so moving right along.
Here, go ahead.
Sorry. Anyway, so this next article, it says clever physics experiment that produces something from nothing.
More clickbait, but an interesting article nonetheless.
Yeah, it was sort of clickbait. Well, they talked about an experiment to actually find light particles in a vacuum, because scientists originally thought that nothing would escape like the boundaries of mass objects, including like a black hole, like including light.
Right.
And of course, in a vacuum, they say that was the a vacuum is thought to be the absence of matter and light and energy. But in quantum physics, it's not quite like that, because there is other things in there.
Yeah, there's some pretty heady stuff in this article, I got to admit, with black holes and quantum physics. Mm-hmm. They break it down pretty good. If you keep reading it, again, the title is not representative of the article. They said something for nothing, which isn't true, because first you need to shake that diamond. I like the line they had. If you shake anything hard enough, you'll get some light. But they had to prove that the light was coming from the quantum entanglement, and they noticed that the photons were always in pairs, and if it was from another source, that wouldn't have been the case. So quantum entanglement is when you have two elements. I don't know exactly what the unit of measure is for those things, electrons, I guess, and they're in this synchronization anywhere in the universe. Well, they were getting these photons. They took this diamond, was it a mesh? Like a plate? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they had some nitrogen imperfections in it, and they shook it. Okay, so you have to use energy to do that. This isn't something for nothing. There is such thing as something for nothing. Nothing. No. Right. Your energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So it could be converted to matter, but that's replicators and transporters. We won't get into that today.
Yeah. And that the whole point was they developed that experiment to actually determine it or detect photons in a vacuum, and that, like you said, they had this, they were, I guess in theory, there's a little short video showing it.
Yes.
Where they had like you said the diamond thing in the middle, and it's a vacuum, and they would shake it, and it would, I was kind of trying to understand
a
that. A synthetic diamond, yes, sorry. like a cubic zirconia.
In essence, all you need to do is shake something violently enough to produce entangled photons. Don't leave that with your babysitter. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm producing entangled photons. No, it was really interesting that they had this idea. I don't know how expensive it was to, every time you see one of these physics experiments, especially at the quantum level, it looks like it involves lots of years of research and building crazy contraptions made out of garage parts. And they're really stupid expensive, with lots of oscilloscopes and measurement instruments all over the place. Like, yay, we found a couple of photons.
Yeah, that's right.
Because someone theorized the Large Hadron Collider,
and it's like, oh, we detected something for the briefest moment in time. You know,
I'm wondering, I was really interested, and I read all the way through this to see what are the practical applications for this, and I didn't come up with any.
Yeah, I don't think they really listed anything.
No.
I was curious to say, I was like, okay, what is this for? Really just to prove some theories.
Yeah, they were proving some theories.
Yeah.
All right, in another one, are we still on the news? No, we're moving into hacks and strange stories. I'm trying to keep up with the show notes. Got the stories lined up. I'm just not reading them in the right order. Okay. So, from sciencealert.com, we have an article titled, and this one actually is true, "Man keeps a rock for years, hoping it's gold. It turned out to be far more valuable." So, short story is, this man named David Hole back in 2015. He's in a park near Melbourne, Australia. And he comes across this rock and goes, oh, this looks interesting.
I stubbed my toe.
It's very heavy. It might be gold or have gold in it. So he hangs on to it and he bangs on it and he tries a grinder and nothing's really working. He even tried dousing it with some acid, going, wow, this is one tough rock.
I know, I was reading
rock.
The things they used and I was like, acid? Whoa, he just...
This is a tough rock.
Yeah.
And he kind of put it on the shelf and said, well, guess it's not gold.
In well, 2 weeks it hatched. I'm just kidding.
I forgot. Did he take it to a scientist or where did he?
Yeah, he took it to a museum, the Melbourne Museum for Identification.
Okay. He takes it to the museum and he says, what is this? And it's fairly substantial, you know, like the size of a very large loaf of bread. Or bigger
like
than
37
that.
37 pounds, too, by the way.
Well, and it's very dense. So, yeah. I mean, we had, at our house, we had a chunk of float copper, which is pure copper. And it was in this irregular, elongated shape, almost the same size as this rock. And it was about 40 pounds. So, this was exceptional. So, they sawed into this, and they said, what you have here, sir, is a very old meteorite. A very large one, too. The surface had been modeled and molded a little bit by its re-entry, and it had lots of iron particulates in it. So that's why it was so darn heavy. And kind of this brownish rust color, too, I suspect is where it got some of the... They also said it's very, very rare. I said, we've looked at thousands of these things over the years, and two have turned out to be actual meteorites. And this is one of them.
So I'm trying to remember if he was talking about the first one, but he said
the first one had some interesting uses before it came to the museum.
It actually went through two different owners.
Yeah,
moved around some and was actually used as a doorstop for a time.
I like that.
Until it finally made its way to the museum for the Dermot Henry. I'm sorry. Anyway. And I just thought that was funny that sat around that long.
Well, you know, what do you do with a big heavy rock? You use it as a doorstop, of course.
Yeah.
We have a cinder block out in front to keep our door open.
Yeah. And they also suggested that this thing was between 100 and 1,000 years old.
No, it's been on Earth between 100 and 1,000 years. It's billions of years old, came from the asteroid belt is where they estimated. Right. And old rocks like this are the easiest way to explore space because you don't have to go get them. They come to you. So we get an insight as to what the early solar system looked
under
like.
It when it comes down.
Well,
that's the only key.
Yeah.
Goes without saying, I'm sure.
So interesting story about, like Craig said, next time you have an old rock set hanging around, just, you know, see if it, if it's real heavy and you can't identify it, take it to a museum and see what you got.
Right.
And maybe they'll buy it from you.
I was wondering if he actually got anything from it because it's so rare. And I was like, what, did they pay him for it?
It's full of iron, man. Oh, boy.
John the power Miller, of Jr. well-placed commas.
And Mike Robeson called it an intergalactic space turd. I don't think it's intergalactic if it came from the asteroid belt. Wrong frame of reference.
Intersolar.
John Miller Jr. didn't like my shaken baby thing earlier.
No.
Okay. Well, no, shaken baby is not, no laughing matter. But what is a laughing matter, Luis, what makes us smile is that the people that show up on our podcast every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Pacific. If you want to be part of the chat messages that are occasionally appearing on the screen for you video watchers, or we'll read them to you for you audio listeners, you can be part of this mayhem and craziness on Sunday nights, just like Mike Robeson and Clinton Alvord and John Miller Jr. and a few other people who have not made any comments. They just remain passively watching. Thank you very much. Oh, Amy Bowen's out there.
Oh, hey, Amy.
She said, I'm thankful we all survived DragonCon 2021. Let's keep up the best practices we have been. Yes.
Let's see if we can survive another one next year. How about that?
If you had told me, you know, a couple of years ago that I'd be able to walk into a bank with a mask, hat, and glasses on and get money. They would give it to me. In fact, they demand, hey, you better put on a mask.
That's right.
We live in crazy times, people. Crazy times.
Yes, we do.
All right. That means it's time for the Remember When segment. Woo! Remember when? Do you want to take the start of this one?
Yeah. So Maureen Flavin, who sounds like a rapper name. Maureen Flavin, what's up? Anyway, she turned 21, and on that same day, she changed the course of history.
Wait, wait, what year did she turn 21? You didn't even tell us.
Oh, did I not say that?
No.
1944. She turned 21.
1944, she, okay.
Yeah, and she worked to, I guess, for meteorological information.
Yes.
And she recorded it while she was working at the post office. Anyway, she completed her daily task at 1 a.m., on June 3rd,
yep,
and she noticed that the air pressure and barometric readings were showing that a big storm was coming, so she had reported it. Well, what she didn't know was all this data was going to go all the way up the chain,
yep,
and make it to some officials' desks, and they decided,
including four-star General Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was at the time the Supreme Commander of the combined Allied forces. They were planning D-Day originally for, was it June 4th? And she said, June 6th. No, they moved it to June 6th because of what Maureen discovered.
Yeah,
she said, someone said, are you sure about these readings? She said, yes, I am. So they postponed Operation Overlord, as it was then known. We now call it
love the, D-Day. The military operation names, you know?
Well, yeah, usually they give them something in a, you know, inconspicuous. Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
Operation Pantyhose. So they, yeah, and her husband at the time, well, it wasn't her husband at that time. They were later married. There's even a wonderful picture of her at age 98. And what they said is, on Saturday, June 19th, 2021, at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. in Ireland, a special tribute of these historic events will be presented to the now 98-year-old Maureen in Belmullet County, Mayo, and via live stream video. So they got this nice white-haired lady sitting in her easy chair,
mm-hmm.
and she played a pivotal role in history for reporting the weather accurately and it's recognizing what it meant. Yeah.
See? Math. Math works.
The unsung heroes. And many of them are women throughout history.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about NASA's checkered past with that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. As a matter of fact, that's pretty awesome, though. I love that story.
All right. Where we gave the chat, we gave the remember when. Now it's time for the patrons.
Oh, boy.
Nope. We got to hear the music first. There we go. Thank you, patrons, for your sponsorship and support of this show. This is you and yours, and you help with costs of hosting and software upgrades and domain registration and, you know, the occasional headphones that need replacing. There's expenses that happen over the last, oh, please don't tell me we've been doing this for 17 years.
Yeah, coming up on 17.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Not continuously.
You know, what didn't come from the house and what didn't come with this house and didn't come from work, you paid for a lot of it. Thank you very much. You keep this going, and we really appreciate your support for this show. And in gratitude, we read off your names on the show and also record a special podcast just for our patrons. Very informal. Craig and I have a chat about, oh, whatever happens to cross our minds this week. And we go, save that for the Patreon show.
Right.
So let us get through the names. You've probably heard them. You may have them memorized at this point. If you'd like to jumble up our...
Everybody, same along with us.
It's like the reading the alphabet or the presidency of the United States. If you want to jumble up our list and mix up the other person who thinks they have them memorized, join them. Join the list. For as little as a dollar a show over... Craig, you got to put the title up. This is where we talk about...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
Join us at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. People like Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown. We got to get Brian in the studio, too. Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Christina, and Kyle Nishioka. Thank you very much. Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez. Thank you, Saturday Morning Media, and Stephen Weshey and Steve Therian. And finally, the pair, Steve Cody and Sweet Steve London. Thank you for all of your support. Again, patreon.com/technoramapodcast for as little as a dollar a show. And if you have just hit fast forward 30 seconds about six times, let's put the show back on the track.
Okay.
I'm just saying, some people listen to podcasts like that.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got Past the Remote. I've got a couple of shows to tell you about. See if I can hit this button through the cage of the microphone. There we go. So a couple that have been on the list, on my list for a couple of weeks that I meant to talk about, but we got usurped by some other shows or ran out of time. The first one is called Catching Killers Season 1. And they start out with, I believe it's the Green River Killer, and they follow that case through to its conclusion. They do several others. I like these true crime, investigate what they knew, what they didn't know, mm-hmm. where they took wrong leads, even if someone was falsely imprisoned, or I think there was one of them that admitted that, yep, we're the murderers, and they weren't. Like, why would, and they spent time in prison? Like, why would you do that? Exactly. Yeah.
For three squares in a bed?
Maybe. Or they were just so messed up that, yeah. So it's on Netflix called Catching Killers. Season one is out, has been out for a while. And now you get some insight into the shows that I like. You've got one up here.
Oh, the one I just put in?
Yes. Go ahead. We'll take turns.
Yeah. I just started Cowboy Bebop. Haven't seen the anime, the anime show really. I've only seen like one episode of it. I thought the style of the anime show was really cool. It's almost like Firefly meets Blade Runner. It's got kind of a cyberpunk, you know, and Western kind of feel to it a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, the show, the show on Netflix is a live action version of it. And I think it's kind of stylish, and it's, again, I don't have a bias really from the animated show, but so far I think it's pretty good. I'm a couple episodes in, so I'll come back and revisit.
You said Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
You got to write that down.
Oh, excuse me. But I think it looks pretty good. My son's seen it, but the original, but I have not, so he seemed to think it was all right so far.
And if anybody's got any comments about these, you've seen them or you're interested,
now,
put them in the chat.
Now there is a Cowboy Bebop has a big following from the original anime. And some people, I think it gets mixed reviews because people are so invested in the original. But, you know, I'm in the mindset that I don't need to see the same thing again. I'm fine if they change it up. You don't have to be the same as long as it's
like Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek doesn't have to be the same every time. As long as they're true to the original material, but taking a little different direction, well, that's cool. Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
Do you want to see the same thing every time?
No, it gets old. That's what happened.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You want to see the same?
That's what happened to The Simpsons about 20 years ago.
Right.
Right. The other one that I've got is The Blacklist on Netflix. Season 8 just came out, and Donna and I consumed that. We have been watching this show probably for the last 18 months. We started at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Great storyline, constantly twisting and turning. You're always trying to yank the truth out of somebody, and it never seemed to get it. I'm not going to spoil it, but I don't know how the show can go on given the conclusion on Season 8. So,
is there an expected next season?
I don't know. They did come to a bit of a stall at the end of season 7 because COVID hit and they hadn't finished production on the final episode. So they sort of cartooned, rotoscoped some of the scenes together. It was an interesting take on a show. It actually gave that one episode its own flavor. They said, look, we didn't have a chance to finish because, you know, we were booted out. But here, our graphic artist sort of finished the job, and it's almost like watching a comic book show as they finished up. So, and the voiceovers were all done because they could do voiceovers remotely.
I think the toughest thing that I was invested in, man, that was affected by COVID was the show The Flash, because the pandemic hit, they couldn't finish the last three, I think it was like three episodes. So they kind of edited it a little bit where they could wrap up that season, which it was still open-ended. And then at the beginning of this season, they wrap up that last storyline. I'm like, it was just kind of weird. They wrapped it up and then started a new story for the next, you know, right at the beginning for the new series, season. So I thought that was kind of weird, but I don't know. What do you do, right?
Whoops. You just got really loud.
Yeah, something's going on here. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay.
I'll tell you the other thing. It's no surprise. For Thanksgiving, I did watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay, then. Because that's
the greatest Thanksgiving
movie.
Love it.
The thing I like about The Blacklist is James Spader gives a marvelous performance in that. And many of you may remember him from other productions. The one that I remember him most from was the original Stargate. He was like in the pilot, but then he was not a main character throughout the series. So it's interesting to see him as a much older, much darker character in this show. But he just does a magnificent job. And I won't call them co-stars because they're not they're recurring characters, but they're not regulars. They'll be on like two or three a season. Just magnificent color and depth to these characters too. One of the actors passed away about a year ago before they started filming season 8. So they had to rewrite some sections. So they bring in his mom, and she is over the top. Just magnificent. We really enjoyed season 8 and hope that the show comes back. But honestly, I don't know how it can.
There is going to be a season 9.
Okay,
and the final one. They said it should be the final one. So I just pulled it up while you were talking. So it says, yeah.
Yeah. Did not end the way that I thought. So good, good. Let's go to, I feel like we just were there, but the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
All right, do you want this one?
Yeah, I'll take this one. I don't know. Something is definitely going wrong, going up and down with my audio.
Do you have StreamYard set to automatically adjust your volume?
Yes.
You may want to take that off.
I'm turning it off. Let's see if that helps.
Okay.
If that helps.
We'll see.
All right. So this one's more about the video than anything. But this is an animated video where they reimagine the Death Star's laser as being scientifically accurate.
Yeah, I thought this was cool. I hadn't seen the original video until you pointed this out. This comes to us from ScreenRant.com, but the video was from another source, but ScreenRant wrote about it.
Yeah, and they said one notable element of the Death Star was, of course, not, you know, it doesn't look realistic. It comes out, triangulates, and then it shoots at the target.
Right.
But a real laser wouldn't obviously... in a vacuum, wouldn't have a beam like that. It would just kind of show up. So this YouTube channel, they did an animation for it. And to be honest with you, when I watched it, I thought...
It's terrifying.
I liked it better, than what we saw. Because it just... The beam kind of focuses in on the ship. You can see the... Not a beam, but...
You see the green light. Dot and the ship blows up.
Yeah.
It also does multiple targets at once.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Yeah. And then they cut in some of the scenes like Lando looking at his co-pilot like, holy crap, we got to get out of here.
Yeah. I liked it better than the original. I thought it was
aware, and maybe Amy can call us out on this. I wasn't aware that the Death Star laser was powered by a kyber crystal.
Yeah. Actually, they talked about that during Rogue One, because they were getting the kyber crystals, and they had the
I thought they were just making a bunch of lightsabers.
They had the Star Destroyers over Jedha.
Yeah.
And they were taking all the Kyber crystals, and it was as the construction for the Death Star. Or Death Stars. They were supposed to be, there were multiple ones. So.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, excuse me.
Except the first one blew up. The second one blew up, still under construction. And Palpatine said, I'm not funding your projects anymore. You can't run them to completion on budget and on time.
You know what? I'm not using my money. Let's do a Kickstarter.
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe for a Death Star.
Palpatine's GoFundMe. Okay. I want to see that.
Yeah.
I wonder if somebody's done an April Fool's on one of those fundraiser things.
Yeah.
Palpatine needs your money to build a new Death Star.
Yeah.
Honest, yeah, the first two were on track. There were some slight accidents.
they were on track, all right.
We've got the kinks worked out.
But yeah, go check this out. You'll see the little lights kind of flickering, the lasers flickering, and then the target's blown up. It's like, whoa. It just kind of blew me away when I saw that.
She says, yep, that's a new canon added by Disney to make everything more poignant.
Yeah.
Look at that. We even get a graphic up there with her Jedi robes. Now, if we talk about something else, does her icon change? Her avatar? All right, we want more Geek Library? We want more. Where's my Geek Library? There it is.
And that this music is appropriate for this.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I just want to point you to a very wonderful picture of Curiosity, the Mars rover that's been up there for years and years, and it has been climbing, what's the name of the mountain? Mount Sharp.
Oh, I thought it was Mount Celea.
No. You take the steps at Mount Celea. Mount Sharp rises 18,000 feet or 5.5 kilometers from the floor of Gale Crater. And it has been climbing this thing for about 7 years. You know, it doesn't go really fast. It's only got one speed. Well, it stopped and took
on
a picture. Technically, it took two pictures. It took one. Both of them were on November 16th from the same location. One at 8:30 a.m. local Mars time.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they draw the time zones for Mars? And what do they call the time zone?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think we need to get somebody on from NASA on here to talk about that.
Okay. Anyway. And another one later in the day at 4:10. And you can kind of tell what they did is they composited two black and white pictures. And then some artists got creative and put in what I think is a little too blue of a sky for Mars.
Well, actually... Yeah, it was a colorized image captured.
Right, it was colorized. It's got some orange in there, but the whole point of this was, hey, you know, even though it's bereft of oxygen and temperature, it's a pretty place. In fact, if I were to look out on this, I'd go California. Arizona. That could be a valley in Arizona.
I thought you were going to say, I'll just take my helmet off and frolic in the rocks.
No.
I'm not sorry. When you were doing that, I was getting that vision of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right.
Total recall.
Yeah.
Not again. I think we mentioned him last time.
Yeah.
So, neat picture if you want to use it as your backdrop. You can tell it's two pictures because the shadows on the rover are a little weird. Like, okay, how did that shadow get there if that shadow is also there? But it's because there's two separate photographs put together. Why it was in that one place all day and who decided to go, everybody hold steady, smile, 3, 2, 1, click.
Yeah. It's a really cool picture, though. You can see that whole valley.
Yep. Yeah and you don't quite, I'm glad they did colorize it because you don't quite get that emotion, you know, no offense to Ansel Adams, but...
yeah, it's amazing what you can do with black and white, but throw a little color in there and it, you know.
Yep. Actually, the second one they took in the afternoon does kind of look like an Ansel Adams picture.
You know what? I was just thinking when we were talking about this, when they finally put a base on Mars and man goes there, you know what? I think they should name it Schwarzenegger Base.
Because that's easy to spell.
Just,
and he's such a prominent figure in Martian history.
Well, you know,
and the space program.
Well, he was the one that coined the phrase, get your ass to Mars. So. Right?
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be around.
Or put
for
a statue of him, you know, with his hand out in the future, kind of like Zefram Cochrane.
Did they edit out the McDonald's and the dollar store, says Mike? No, but yes. The Starbucks had to go.
I often wondered how freaked out people would be if they saw a piece of, I know it's highly unlikely, a piece of trash, like a Coke can that somehow got ejected from Earth and landed on Mars, and they accidentally took a picture of it. Imagine people freak out when they saw that.
So next time you're in the ISS, Craig, just chuck a can out the window. Aim for Mars and good luck.
Roll the window. Okay, we're in synchronous orbit. Throw it.
He's got like one of those potato cannon guns. Boom.
That's right.
The question is, do you know where to aim? Because if you aim right at Mars, you're going to miss. You have to aim where Mars is going to.
Yeah, where it's going to be. Just like an archer.
Right. And Craig's madly scratching down figures like, where am I? How fast am I going? How fast is Mars going? How long will it take the can to get there? Oh, I can't do it. Never mind.
You forgot pie.
I'm just going to...
Like a piece of pie.
No, Coke cans, not pies. I'm just going to fire a bazillion of them. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they got pizza in the ISS. They should have had something to wash it down with.
Yeah.
Okay, that takes us to the end of the show. Our question of the week for you this week. Maybe we'll get some responses this week. Not bitter at all.
Yeah.
What movie do you think has the best music? I like the way you agreed to that before you even knew what I was going to finish the sentence with.
I know. We worked together way too long.
What movie do you think has the best music?
I'm going to probably say, although Star Wars is close, I'm going to say the Indiana Jones series. How iconic is that music, for crying out loud?
I'm going with probably a popular opinion. Anything by John Williams. He did a great job.
Yeah. I'll give people bonus points for not using John Williams.
There you go.
You know, but yeah, let's do that. We can use John Williams, but bonus points if you don't.
John Miller Jr. already has his in. Superman the movie. Mike Robeson has Highlander. Not the Toyota vehicle. Okay. Yeah. That.
I did like the music from Star Trek Six. Six, the Undiscovered Country.
You know what I noticed about a lot of the Star Trek music? It might be just Alexander Courage, but he seemed influenced by Holst's The Planets. If you listen to, say, Jupiter, you'll start to go, boy, this sounds like it could be straight out of a Star Trek episode or movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that there may be a reason for that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, this is a discussion we should have with Ben and Keith. Too bad they're not here tonight.
Yeah, they could have been.
Man,
oh, well.
Could have been. Had a personal emergency to take care of. But maybe we'll leave that for another time, another story. Right now, we are done and out of here.
Yes? Well, they are welcome to reply to this when I post the question. So we'll see what they're... I'm sure they got some good answers.
You better
they probably...
At mention
they do
them.
A lot... They talk to a lot of independent directors about their movies.
Yep.
I bet they've got some good answers that are off the beaten course. Track.
The Avengers, you know, theme, I mean. MCU. There you go. That's a good one.
That was a good one. That's one of those swelling hero movies. Yeah, that's good.
the epic themes that I download from the royalty-free sites. If you're making your own movie. All right.
Right.
Whoop. I hit it. There we go.
All right.
I think I hit it twice. Thank you, everybody, for watching live or listening later or watching later or listening live. Wait, no. I'm just covering all possible permutations of that. Thank you for listening. Get in touch with us, Craig Title.
Oh.
Get in touch with us on the listener line, 707-530-2428, 707-530-2428, or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. It's been a while. We did get a couple of voicemails recently. And, oh, Wait a minute. Hold on. Hit the pause button.
Whoa,
I think we did have a couple of emails, and we blew right through them on the feedback section.
Did we not put them in the...
No. Shame on us. So here's your bonus content, which should have been in the show.
Get 40% off of Pro.
Not that one.
Oh, new features on StreamYard.
Your vehicle's warranty may be expiring. No, Mad Marv wrote us, and he said you were talking about Pichacucha, the slide presentation thing.
Yeah,
he said, hi, Chuck and Craig. I remember Pichacucha, if we're saying that closely, could be Pachacucha. I don't know. From when Twitter was new. I remember it was meant to make PowerPoint presentations a competitive event. The 20 slides, 20 seconds rule was meant to enforce a rigid time format for everyone. This would weed out people who can't write a presentation to spec. I also severely punished those who simply don't read the rules.
Yeah,
I love it.
Right. Well, you should. Yeah.
But if you were a good speaker / presenter, you'd learn how to make a transition work every 20 seconds on the dot. From there, you then have to make your content interesting and presentation polished enough to win.
Yeah.
We also have one from Sweet Steve.
Where am I missing these?
Sentient being. He sent it to Technorama at checkchat.com. I got it. And I'm usually the one who misses these things. An article from futurism.com. United Kingdom declares octopuses, squids, are sentient beings.
Oh, yes, that one. I was going to put that in the next show as a link.
Oh, go ahead. We'll save it for then, but I totally agree with that statement. Yes, save it for the next show. Thank you very much, Steve. Well, we now have a news crew. Next thing you know, they're going to want money.
Whoa.
This is not a paying gig yet. We only have a handful of Patreons.
Hey, we're still wanting money.
Okay, so with that, sorry about that, Kyle. We got you covered on the feedback.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Let's continue on with the music. Yes. Yes.
Hello. I'm listening.
Hello, computer. We'll do abort and start over. There we go.
There you go.
Unpause on me. I'm not sure what happened there. Sponsored by Candy Corn. For the love of Bruce. Why? Hey, I like Candy Corn.
I like
candy
corn.
Those peanut butter kisses. Okay. We talked about the voicemail, 707-530-2428. We talked about the email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We didn't talk about the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. Patreons, you might spin giving money to Craig as banner school.
So I turned the banners on.
Training.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Thank you very much, Craig, for all the help. Thank you, listeners and viewers. And until next time, Craig, give him a binary high five.
All right. 101.
Take care. Be safe, everybody.
Thanks.
Until next time. Bye.